All right, welcome to another episode of the Final Percent Podcast, and I've got this wonderful woman here. Wonderful woman. I'm just Wonder Woman is hanging out with me. How incredible is that? We kind of connected and hit it off at an event that we were just at with George Bryant, and you know, there's a lot of parallels. I'll say the biggest burning question that I have, and maybe this is like me firing right out of the gate as possible.
Let's go.
I'm very much a Christian. I love God. And you said, man, that resonated with me. I also used to be an atheist.
Yeah.
How'd it happen? I want to know.
Yeah. The core of it is that I think I believed when I was super young. And it's super interesting for me to go back and look at that because it ties back to God's word where it says everyone has a knowing and faith like a child and all the scriptures that talk about that. And yet I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I wasn't raised where God was talked about. And when I was in my teenage years, in my 20s, I lived a lot of life before I ever hit, you know, 21, a lot of different life scenarios. And I had gotten to a point where I was literally the person in the Bible that helped me understand, like, if God can love anyone, he can love that person, he can love me too, was Saul's conversion to Paul.
Like, okay.
I mean, I was in our 20s when I was hanging out with friends and there was a couple people that believed, like, in our circle, and I was the one that was telling them that Christians were weak and that's because they needed a crutch and they couldn't do it on their own. And my life circumstance gave me a choice, and my choice was like bear and grit it and make it happen. And I thought I was doing it on my own. Mm. And when I got pregnant with my son, who actually just turned 25, I started to think like, this can't just be, I can't be doing this on my own, right?
I love that.
I can't be growing a human on my own. And not by coincidence, a couple of people that I had in my immediate circle, one had absolutely been a version of Saul as well, like massive, like player and all of that, with women and all this kind of stuff, but he was a friend. And I saw his life converted. Mm. So I saw the example. And then another female friend of mine had been raised Christian, had kind of walked away and was one of the people that we were, you know, kind of partying with and what have you. And I saw her transform her life back into living in more alignment with God's word.
I love that.
And she started a family and he began a relationship with a Christian woman. And so as I was curious and leaning in, they were just present. Mm. And so I think the reason I mentioned to you, like, that I was a former atheist, I realized the other day when I was talking to someone, I think I tend to do that a lot because part of the stigma I had before I was Christian is that Christians judge and they're this and they're that. And it's almost like I want to articulate to people that I'm going to love them where they are, or that I understand their perception. Mm-hmm. And that's what stood out for me. I don't remember you saying that you're an atheist or having that type of reference, but your reference
to
that.
No, what I was saying is I'm a Christian, but I'm just looking for insight, not agreement with wherever you're at.
Yeah. You were saying that you love whoever's beliefs are.
I have so many friends that are atheists and I'm not going to judge them.
Right.
I'm going to love the ever living out of them.
Yeah, exactly. And or whatever their faith system is or belief is, I believe that if there weren't people in my life that were willing to walk with me, even when I was defiantly saying, like, it's just, I was never like saying it. I don't think so. I don't think I was saying it against them. Although there were a couple of nights that were questionable, like with alcohol involved and whatever. And so then as I was leaning in, there was a very difficult life circumstance at the same time. Once I was, you know, pregnant with a son, had my son, and I just started asking both of them questions and they were available to answer questions. And one of the nights, that something occurred and I reached out to my girlfriend and she met me for coffee right away. And we were having this conversation. And again, it wasn't even anything in that moment, but she just started to talk to me about how to, I was just continually asking questions. And she shared with me how to invite God into my life. And So on my way home from that, I don't remember the exact words. And one of the things I've learned is that it doesn't need to be perfect words, and it doesn't need to be said like a certain way. I think that's where a lot of people get caught up. And I asked God into my life, and I said whatever words I said at the time to do my best to communicate that. And from there, all I can tell you is that things started to dramatically change. I saw things that like just did not make any sense as to why I would see them or hear them or know them, not like supernaturally, but I just mean an awareness of things that were right in front of me that I had not previously seen. And then I was married at the time and ended up separating. And in that separation, there was just this desperation of, I want the answers. I want to understand. I thought life was going to look this way. I thought we were going to have this family and have all these things. And I thought life was going to include all of this. And that is all now gone. And what do I do now, right? And ending up as potentially a single mom, which ended up to be true. I was that woman that needed a crutch. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, Lord, I clearly cannot do this on my own, or I'm not doing this on my own. And I need you. And so I actually am super grateful for that season, because it was like, what do you call, like, what would be the best word? Like throwing yourself to the fire or flames or whatever. It was like an intensive over the course of a long period of time, a few months, where I just dove into his word to understand, to connect. And I ended up staying with that. My son and I ended up staying and living with that same female friend and her husband. And they had a daughter about my son's age, and they were a Christian home. And so being immersed in it while working and doing like living life, but being immersed in it. And I remember still visually being at the table and just reading his word. Like I had no idea what I was reading. I had no idea where I was starting. I realized at some point in time in that story, I had realized like someone had gifted me like a King, like old school King James version. And I realized, okay, there's easier versions to read, right? Which is just like New King James version or what have you. And so that's how it started. Good. And there's been so many moments since then that have just been so incredibly powerful, and it changed and transformed my life so much. It again changed the trajectory more than once.
Yeah.
And I just continue to follow him by faith. And so now it's, I don't know.
I'll tell you, I've always believed, I've kind of, the intensity of the relationship has definitely gone back and forth, but I'll tell you when it just became overwhelming was, I have a 2-year-old, and when he was born, I just remember looking at him and being like, dude, this is a gift from God. And there was zero, like, I wonder if this is a gift from God. There was 100% certainty that I knew that I had just been blessed.
Yeah.
And it's really been a wonderful journey, because we listen to church every Sunday. Conrad just went to church for his second time last Sunday.
Yeah.
But normally what we do, just because obviously he's such a, wants to run around and stuff. We actually get in the car every Sunday and we drive around and we listen to church.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I think that the vehicle that everyone uses to say yes or take a deep dive into, especially finding their path with Jesus, I think it's just so interesting. So like when you said that, I was like, that is definitely good. I was like, and that's why, like, right when you said that, I was like, I want you on my podcast. Like, I want, whatever happened there, I want to talk about
it. Well, can I tell you a couple other
things? Please.
So I was not healthy or fit at the time. And when I had been in a relationship where I've been on my own since I was 17. That's a whole other story. We won't go into that. Mm-hmm. But I've been on my own since I was 17. I've always been a fighter. I've always provided for myself. I've always been a woman of strength from that perspective. Mm-hmm. And also the way life circumstances happened during that season, like the stinking thinking is what I now call it, was so loud.
From Zig Ziglar.
And the deity. Oh, really?
Yeah, he says stinking thinking all the time.
Does he really?
Oh, yeah.
I probably got it from that at some point in time, because I've definitely listened to him.
But, he's like the godfather of personal growth.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I just never correlated. So thank you for making that reference. So mentally, I was like just in a place of really wondering whether I could do it. So when I was a single mom, I went back for a season to counting dollars for, like, I had already started to grow a corporate career from an admin to building a corporate career. But when the divorce happened and I was a single mom, I went back to counting dollars for I remember counting dollars for groceries.
Yeah.
And trying to figure it out, because after staying with that girlfriend, we moved, you know, my son and I moved on our own, and I was 24/7 responsible. And I was not healthy and fit. And I had this moment where I knew I felt like I was a good mom, but if I actually felt good, how much better would I be? And I remember being at the bottom of my shower crying, because as moms, we do everything we need to do for our kids. So he was already asleep at the bottom of my shower crying, like, I can't. And I distinctly heard, "You can and you will." And I saw this visual of my son. And from that moment, I started leaning into fitness and realizing the power of fitness. And like, there's this whole journey of how to do it the right way and all that kind of stuff. And as a result of that, I went back into the corporate world, grew my, position again to over six figures. And I only say that because I was literally counting dollars for groceries, to over six figures in my mid-20s, no college degree, none of that. And then God called me out of it. Mm. After all of the stability and all the security, a few years later, God called me out of it. And he just kept saying, "What I did for you, I want you to go help do that for other women." And so the only thing I saw to begin with, the first step that I saw, was a personal trainer. And I was like, seriously, you want me to go from, we finally got comfortable, to minimum wage? Like, how am I going to do that? And my company at the time, I was VP of a segment of the business, and they were closing that segment. So they gave me a little bit of a buffer to help them close it out and do all that kind of stuff. So I thought, well, maybe I'll just do it part-time, take a little bit of a break. And I ended up starting a boot camp at a park, which then transformed into a brick and mortar fitness business for 10 years, where I got to love on people who knew who I was and knew my faith. And so we got to pour into people of all different dynamics, cultures, everything. And then once again, and that was an amazing experience, and scaled it and all that good stuff. And then God again in 2020 said, okay, so now I want you to go online and focus exclusively with Christian women. And the only reason I say that is not to make it about me, it's by God's work in and through me. But I hope if it helps anyone, it's the personal relationship with God and not feeling like you need to be perfect about it, not waiting to get ready, all that kind of stuff. And then it is that health and the foundation of strength. That is the tide that rises all ships. It's like we were talking about before. It's not just the food. It's not just the workouts.
There's
it's,
so much.
There's
okay, so I have a question. And like, this is like the number one thing that like you're not supposed to ask people. Because right when you were like 25-year-old son, I was like, there's no way.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Like, 50.
You're 50.
Yes.
I'm literally blown away. Okay. Yeah. The world needs you, because I know there's so many, especially women out there, who think that they're starting a little too late, or they're like, you know, I'm already like in my late 30s or 40s. It's I'm basically a lost cause.
Yeah.
So I think that like you're super needed and necessary on so many levels, but like from the fitness standpoint, because like obviously like I'm a dude that like I know enough to be dangerous on good and bad, because I'm still like, there's a lot of times where like I know I need to be doing this workout, but then I'm like the quintessential when you see the memes of, it's just like when you know you should be doing leg day and then like you see the bench press.
Yeah.
Like, I still have a little bit of that inside of me.
But even then, like that's kind of a stigma. Like there isn't one way to get it done.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. And so anyway.
I just think that number one, what you're doing is fantastic.
Thank you.
And number two, I would I would love for you to maybe expand and or expound on the cake philosophy we were kind of just talking about. Because I think that understanding the layered thing and then the upside down that most people are doing, I think could really help people. And it's fantastic to know, because I'm still kind of, I don't, like, whoever's watching this, like, is anyone else blown away? Like, right, we all had the same question, right? When she's like, yeah, my kid's almost 25. I'm like, did you have him when you were five? Like, what are you talking about? So
thank you.
That's so fantastic. And I think that you're a good example on that side of things. And you're a source of hope for a lot of, because I can't tell you, there's so many women that I coach and I talk to, and they're like, they will literally look at me and they'll just be like, well, it's easy to be a man in their 30s. And I'm just like, I'm not as fast as I used to be. I'm like, I'm 39. Like,
they're coming at it from a totally different level, though. Yeah. I think, and that's the thing, is it's never too late to start, and you're never too far gone. And one of the biggest things is, like, diet culture and society, it's this diet, it's this pill, it's this product, and that's the thing. And so then women, highly, especially, I mean, a lot of women, but highly driven women, they'll try the things. And so many women have come to me, they've tried diet after diet, they've tried pills, they've tried products, women that have done weight loss surgery, and the weight just comes back, and usually it comes back with friends. Right?
Yeah.
And so then they feel like there must be something wrong with me, or that their brain starts looking for all the reasons why it's not going to work. And the reality is, they just have been taught the wrong thing. So that's where the cake analogy comes in. And so
break down the cake for us. I think that's a great one.
I was explaining before we started filming that I'm just super visual. So I think God gives me all these visuals. Yeah. And one of the visuals that he gave me, and this is really the core reason why I now realize in hindsight, he called me to close the brick and mortar fitness business that I loved. Good example of needing to give up something really good to reach for the next thing, even when you don't see the full staircase.
Mm-hmm.
And this analogy was to work with Christian women in particular. I would still work with whoever, wherever they are, but the core of what we're going to talk about with the cake is based on biblical strategies and foundation. So the cake is, you know, in the United States, I will say, for me, when I think of a traditional wedding cake, because I know we have tons of different cultures, but when I think of a traditional wedding cake, it's layers, it's tiers.
Yeah, it's that tiered.
Yeah, it's the stack. You could think of like a pyramid.
Yeah, exactly,
with
right.
like chunks in between, right?
Yep.
And so the first layer of the cake is the foundation. It's the strength. It's what holds up the next layer. Mm-hmm. That second layer holds up the next layer. That last layer, or however many layers they get in the United States, it can get crazy, holds it all up. And I was guilty of this too. So I love my industry. I love all my fitness pros, but the focus is on nutrition and workouts, right? They say that that's the priority. What God has impressed upon me by my own living example and watching it happen through clients is that foundation of the cake, the founding layer that makes everything else possible, is our personal relationship with God.
That's
and
so
being
good.
Connected and leaning in and developing that relationship with intention. It's not I don't have time right now. It doesn't have to be a huge amount of times, but it's like, we can't afford not to
do that part,
do that foundation. And then the next part is actually our thoughts and our beliefs. Mm-hmm. Because for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And our thoughts impact our beliefs. Mm-hmm. Our beliefs, in my opinion, impact our choices. Our choices made consistently over time is what creates our lifestyle and our habits, which is awesome, because that means we get to reverse engineer it, right?
Exactly right.
So the thoughts and the beliefs that, unfortunately, we don't always know the thoughts and beliefs we hold. I forget, you might know the person that originally quote this, but it's, you know, we believe the thoughts, or we question our beliefs except for those that we truly believe to be true. Mm-hmm. Just like we would say the sky is blue because somebody else told us, we've believed it for so long, we don't think anything outside of it.
Yeah.
So for a lot of women, my own experience, and we talked about it earlier, stinking thinking, Zig Ziglar, yes, we're aware of some of the stinking thinking, and also there's stinking thinking that we don't, society would call it like limiting beliefs. Yeah. Sometimes you're aware of them, sometimes you don't know.
Yeah.
So that's the critical layer. And then the self-care, which mm-hmm. includes things like nutrition. We talked about sleep is so important, mm-hmm. and you know, there's a lot of things that go into self-care, and then workouts.
Yep.
So again, to recap, the foundation is God. The second layer of that cake is our thoughts and our beliefs. Mm-hmm. The third layer is our self-care, then our workouts. Mm-hmm. The industry, and I was guilty back in the day too, focuses on the workouts, and most of them focus on some sort of diet, right? Mm-hmm. So they have the whole cake upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if you take a wedding cake and you try to flip it upside down,
it's gonna crumble.
All falls apart.
Yep.
It's not sustainable. So it's not only that diets aren't sustainable, it's that the focus then is not the foundation that's going to equip and empower them mm-hmm. to live the fullness. Like what I always say is, you know, having a body you feel dynamically confident in and all mm-hmm. those kinds of things literally is a byproduct mm-hmm. of getting that foundation and those first two tiers dialed in, because it is the foundation, not only the wedding cake, but it is literally the tide that rises all ships.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at our health and our well-being, that is the drive, just like your infinity model. That's why mm-hmm. I was resonating so heavily with you. Like it's so brilliant. I love the way it's mapped out. And, but that infinity model, it is exactly that. Like the health and fitness is the vitality piece, is also the P for personal.
Yep.
So it is the wedding cake is those two pieces, because when we are at our best, mm-hmm. then we give our best. Mm-hmm. We think about getting on an airplane and the pilot says, put on your own mask, oxygen mask, even if you have a 2-year-old. And we see those things all the time. But are you living it?
Okay, Tanner, we literally had a coaching session this morning, and I literally used this on him, because I said, have you ever been on an airplane? He says, yes. I said, okay, because he's so quick to give everything away, and he wants to help, and he wants to fight for his family. And I said, okay, one of his daughter's names is Georgia. I said, if you're on a plane with Georgia and you have to put the masks on, who do you put on the mask on first? He goes, Georgia, of course. And I go, no, like then she's going to wake up and not have a dad. You put yours on first. And he's like, oh, so we literally just had this conversation. And it comes up again. I feel like the universe is trying to, Tanner, listen. Yeah. So
I know you, Tanner, but you should listen to this.
No, you know Tanner. He was the Thor.
Oh, yes, Tanner. Of course I know Tanner.
Yeah, I stole Tanner yesterday. We went to the event. I was like, which one do you want to go to? He's like, how can I get to both of them? I'm like, unfortunately, you can't.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but either way, I need your truck.
Let's get clear. And well, and you know, again, because I work coach predominantly women, but like I think we're so like that. Good humans want to serve.
Yes.
Like, they want to be giving, and they have the good heart and they have the best intention. But it's like this weekend when we were talking at George Bryant's event about the, you know, being able to say no more, right? The reality is we're always saying no, because there's always an inverse.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're saying no over here, if we're saying yes over here, excuse me, we're saying no to something.
Mm-hmm.
And too often we're saying no to ourselves, but you cannot give from an empty well. When you think about I mean, cars nowadays are a little bit different than when I was growing up, but if you're like low on gas, you're running on fumes.
Yeah.
Your car is not going to run as efficiently, right?
Yeah.
When your gas tank is full, you're ready to go. I'm not a car person, so this is not a great analogy for me, but when it's all tuned up, dialed in, ready to go, it's going to perform better.
You're doing great with the car analogy, by the way.
My dad was a car guy, but a little bit.
I always say, saying that you don't want health and fitness in your life, or personal growth, or great community around you is a little bit like saying you're too busy driving to stop for gas.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, the gas just runs out and you're done driving.
And you're stuck.
And
where?
So many of us, we're living life at red line.
Yeah.
Financial red line, emotional red line,
100%.
Time red line, guilt red line, shame red line. Like just let's take everything to red line. And then we wonder why we have such depression running rampant. We're just, number one, I love what my wife said the other day. She read this article, sent it to me, and it says that humans are not built to manage everything that they think that they should manage, from social yeah. media to status to this to this to this to this to this to this.
Yeah.
And we're just we're basically in a state of perpetual overwhelm.
Yeah.
And if you don't have your fitness and your health,
yeah.
that overwhelm comes so much sooner. If you want to raise the red line of what's possible, and so I use this analogy all the time. A lot of times the tachometer, let's say that that's like how fast your engine's revving. You know, a lot of cars go up to like 9,000.
Yeah.
But let's say that I'm a race car. Mine goes to 16,000. And let's say that, you know, there's someone who has a diesel truck. His red line's at 3,000.
Yeah.
The problem is when the person with a 3,000 red line goes and hangs out with me, a 16,000 red line,
yep.
I either need to drop down to where I'm bored.
Yep, 100%.
Or he revs up to where he breaks.
Yes.
And so what we need to do is we need to say, okay, how can I get around people who can incrementally help me understand how to raise the red line of my engine so that 9,000 is no longer stressful?
100%. You raise your level of tolerance. And having said that, before I lose the thought, if I may,
yeah.
You absolutely need to be in communities that are at that next level, right?
Yep.
And also, if you don't work on your thoughts, which is part of what I work on with women when yeah. it comes to health and fitness, because if you don't work on your thoughts and beliefs, your core identity does mm-hmm. not yet align with that higher level of RPM.
Exactly right.
So you can live it and you can be in it, but your brain mm-hmm. will find a way to pull you back to that bottom level,
yep.
the last level you were at.
Yep.
So it's, for me, in my opinion, it's so incredibly important to work on, mm-hmm. even when it comes to, like, that is the foundation of life, is being able to work on your thoughts and your beliefs so that your identity, right? Gay Hendricks talks about it in the mm-hmm. Big Leap. If
yep.
you don't level up your identity while you're doing all these things, you will rubber band yourself back, whether you like to or not.
It's so great that you said rubber band. So I was going to use the analogy of the rubber band. So
yeah.
there's this thing called structural tension.
Yeah.
If you grab your fingers and yeah. you have a rubber band, but you go hang out with someone who's up here, the rubber band's going to snap and
yeah.
then both of you are going to stay there. But if this person starts going this, one of two things is going to happen. Either this person's going to come up
yep.
or this person has to come down.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is you want to go get into that sweet spot community to
yep.
where the next level that they have is going to pull people up and they
yep.
want to get up there, not scare the ever living out of them.
Yep.
There's a lot of those communities. Like, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I was telling you before we got on there, I was like, I'm hanging out with Dan Fleischman and I'm saying, man, my big event, 350 people realizing who I'm talking to now.
Yeah.
And he was just 4,300 people at Dallas. They've already sold 3,500 tickets for Denver and they have another 4,000 for LA.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, we're ending in New York. We rented out Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
And then next January, they're doing Houston and it's going to be like 15,000 people. They're going to do another arena.
Yeah.
And I realized in that moment, as I was saying, my big event, we were sitting in a mastermind
yeah.
where every single person in the room had spent $15,000 to be in that room.
Yeah.
And that was like a small little like event that he just kind of threw together to like honor them.
Yeah.
That event was bigger than my big event.
Yeah.
And that was his small event.
Yeah.
And in that moment, but instead of me going, oh man, I'm not worthy or this, right. I got excited.
Yes.
I was like, oh, because then it started and Tanner was sitting right next to me. And it was funny because Tanner looks at me and he goes, dude, do you have any idea that if this is who is your friend now and he's mentoring you and taking you, do you have any idea where you're going? I was like, oh, I know exactly where I'm going. None
yeah.
of this is by accident.
Yeah.
And Tanner was just like, I'm so excited that like, I'm like, and then he got excited.
Yeah.
And so that's the big thing, is getting around people who clap when you win.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times in these communities, everyone kind of looks at it as kind of a pissing contest. So they're like, oh, this person sold their company or signed this client or their business is going so well. And then this person thinks that they need to say, oh, well, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Instead of going, damn, that's awesome.
Yeah.
We need more people in our lives saying, damn, that's awesome.
And what I love about your community is that, or what I understand of it so far, is that you're able to do that in each of the, like the affinity loop.
Exactly,
you're able to
right.
do that in each segment, because even when it comes to health and fitness, a lot of times you get to be the first to go. You mm-hmm. get to be the first one to change your habits, because
exactly
we right. do tend to be a lot like the people that we spend the most 100. Time with.
Absolutely.
So you probably are the first person that's trying to really focus on your health and fitness
yep.
and really level it up or bring it to that next level. People are going to think you're weird, that you're odd, that you're obsessive. They're going to have all these things to say about you.
I have had all those things said about me probably today.
Yeah. I mean, I was like when I went from unhealthy to super fit when I was still in the corporate environment, and
yeah.
I got the comments and the questions, accusations of being on steroids, like all the things.
Ugh.
Right. And or just like that normal man or woman that is trying to change their habits and they're not yet in that environment, and mm-hmm. getting connected with a community where you're able to have that higher level example.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to say higher level, but yeah, I mean, it is right. That higher standards
higher,
for yourself.
I think that's a great word. We
yeah.
talk about standards all the time in our community. The only way to change your life is to change your standards. And that's
yeah.
something that Tony Robbins says all the time.
100%.
And
what you normalize and what you tolerate.
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing. Like I tell people, you know, when I was going, because I, before, or when I made the decision to lose my weight, I was like 60 pounds heavier than I am now. And I just remember,
yeah.
like I saw this picture and I was like, what am I doing? Like it was so bad.
Yeah.
And I had to adopt this idea of that's not food. So like if I'd see a
yeah.
donut, that's not food.
Yeah.
Like I had to look at donuts. Now don't get me wrong, I love donuts.
Yeah, yeah.
I love ice cream. Ice cream and donuts. What,
I know. That was the other thing. I'm like, I love ice cream too.
I know,
like
I,
ice cream, sushi, pizza, still can eat your favorite foods.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I had to say that's not food, that's not food, that's not food. But the thing that it really helped me out with is I had to say, okay, what I put into my ears
yeah.
and my eyes is actually more important than what I put into my mouth.
Yeah.
But it's making me just as much as what I eat. It's turning me into something.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm always listening to books. That's why I love, we were with David Meltzer. I was talking to his business manager and I was like, I've still never met anyone who has more books
yeah.
in their Audible library than I do.
Yeah.
And I've only started it since 2016. And he looks at me, he's like, I promise you, David is going to destroy you. I'm like, if he's the guy who does it, then that's a good guy to get it done. Awesome.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
fantastic.
Yeah.
David
yeah.
wasn't even in the solar system as me. Since 2016, we pulled it open. Since 2016, I said 1,441 so far.
Yeah.
1,400 books. And David responds with, I'm not even showing you my number because it's not even close.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like, that's what I've been feeding my ears.
Yeah.
I don't watch horror movies.
Yeah.
I like
same.
If I watch something, I watch, there's a thing called Peerflix out there, which is all Christian based and faith based movies, so that I can watch that, or I'm watching cartoons because I'm a big
yeah,
kid.
Me
like,
too.
That's just who I am.
So a couple of things that come to mind is, yes, like that is part of health. It's like
yeah.
being health in mind, body and spirit is what we talk about. And it is a sum of everything that you're bringing in,
yeah.
whether it's physical food, mental food, spiritual food, it's part of all of it. And the other thing really quickly, if you don't mind me going back to the idea of operating from a position of overwhelm real quick, because I think this will be helpful for your audience. God really impresses upon me too. And that's the understanding that our best decisions are made when we're sitting in a position of peace and presence.
Mm-hmm.
We can't clearly hear that small, still voice when we're in that state of overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
So when we start to feel ourselves in that state of overwhelm, there's stretching, there is being super driven, all of those things are great. They're powerful. It's what makes us entrepreneurs and drives us forward. Mm-hmm. But if it's to the point of that overwhelm feeling, like you were talking about in the infinity model, sorry, this way, then you are doing yourself and the people you are meant to serve a disservice mm-hmm. if you don't find your way back to that position of mm-hmm. peace and purpose. It doesn't mean you do less. It's the position that you're holding space for mm-hmm. in peace and in the presence of understanding so that you can hear the small, still voice. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. How I explain that to our community is I say, imagine when the signal would go out on the old TV and you just get all that white noise.
Yeah.
The state of overwhelm is turning all that white noise up as loud as possible and still trying to listen to a speech.
Yeah.
It's impossible. Yeah. Like you have too much going on.
Yeah.
So meditation, good practices, having yes. great people around you, it's just like turning all of that static noise down.
Yeah.
So that you can actually be clear on what's being said. Because otherwise you're getting a little word here and a little word here. And it can feel
like you're doing all the right
yeah,
things.
And you're really in a state of confusion. So, yeah. All right. So with that being said, two yeah. things. Number one, there's 100% chance I'm going to get you into our Facebook community because everyone needs to connect with this wonderful human, Wonder Woman. I'm just going to start calling you that from now on. It happened. Where can people find out more about you from your preferred social handle, email, yeah. website, whatever it is, just so yep. that people, if they want to just get with you directly and just start, picking your brain or connecting yeah, with you absolutely. Or maybe hiring you, how can they find you?
RebeccaTabbert.com. So I'm sure it'll be in the notes, but mm-hmm. RebeccaTabbert.com and or Instagram. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
It's all the same.
Okay. Rebecca Tabbert.
She's a pro. She makes it easy. Like, that's the worst is when someone on Instagram, it's this. On LinkedIn, it's yeah. this. On this, it's this. On this, it's this. And then no one writes anything.
It's
down.
All under Rebecca Tabbert, and you'll hear the term Kingdom Fit used throughout because that's the foundation in which Kingdom Fit coaching and Kingdom Fit when I do workshops and challenges and all that good stuff.
Well, just so you know, the way that intellectual property works, I don't know if you heard that Mickey Mouse just came out to where now it's public domain, anyone can use it. In a year and a half, Wonder Woman is going to be public domain. So you'll
That's
be able
crazy.
To use it. I'm just throwing it out there. You too can be Wonder Woman. But it's been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure this is not the last time that we end up, number one, connecting, number two, having you on the podcast, because this has been so fun.
Yeah, if I could just maybe end with this, I just want to say that I appreciate it's an honor, first of all, to be here. And also, I appreciate your energy. I appreciate your wisdom. I appreciate the example that you're leading as a businessman, as an entrepreneur, as a family man. I've just gotten to know you, and I just know the impact that you are making and the work that God is doing in and through you. So I honor you for that. And thank you for having me.
Oh, man, this is just the beginning. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
All right. That was a freaking badass.